Ladies and gentlemen, live from the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, welcome to the 73rd Bi-Weekly Flophouse Mini. Hello, everyone. This is the Flophouse Mini, a celebration of film, fun, and whatever we happen to want to talk about at the moment. Normally on this podcast, we watch a bad movie, but tonight we're bringing you all the glitz and glamour of the Academy Awards. I'm your host for this evening, Elliot Kalin, and joining me are my co-hosts...
Dan McCoy. Sorry, I was looking to make sure that it was, in fact, the 73rd, as advertised.
Okay, I'm Stuart Wellington.
I appreciate, Dan, your lack of faith in me that I wouldn't look up the number
on the
website.
I didn't know whether it was some kind of joke I didn't quite understand or whether it was accurate, and I was just
nearly
curious.
Nearly an accurate number. Well, thank you both for joining me today on this a celebration of the Academy Awards. You know, the Academy Award nominations were just announced, and all of Hollywood is aflutter over who will take home Best Picture. Will it be the surreal family comedy of Everything Everywhere All at Once? The masochistic mind trip of Tar, or such original visions as the Top Gun sequel, the Avatar sequel, or the remake of All Quiet on the Western Front. Looks like we've got a lot of big new ideas in Hollywood these days.
This guy's not pulling any punches.
No, just keep listening as we go through the episode. Every movie wants to win the Academy Award for Best Picture because it instantly enshrines them in immortality. Just look at such film greats as Citizen Kane, Singin' in the Rain, Strangers on a Train, and of course, Being John Malkovich. Now, hold on, wait a second. Dan, what's wrong with this picture? The titles I listed all have one thing in common. What is that thing?
Didn't win the Best Picture Oscar?
That's right. None of those iconic classic films won the Best Picture Oscar. The last three weren't even nominated because we live in a nightmare world where Singin' in the Rain is not nominated for Best Picture. It turns out you don't need to be Best Picture to be a great movie. And the fact is, a number of movies were named the Best Picture of the Year and then promptly forgotten, laid to rest in the tomb of the unknown Oscar winner, which you can visit in beautiful Hollywood, California.
So wait, so this person actually won an Oscar, but we don't know who they were or
the
for
movie.
What.
The movie won the Oscar and then was promptly deleted from the collective consciousness of
I'm
the world.
Yeah, I'm following. I
now,
like it. Yeah.
So we normally bury movies in tombs? In this
Always.
In this reality that I'm creating, yes, movies are buried in tombs and they are not identified. We're actually running out of unidentified movies thanks to DNA technology.
I mean, if they don't bury the mummy movies in a tomb, what the fuck are they even doing?
That's a very good... Well, that's in the tomb of the known mummy. Mummy movies, which everyone knows what's in there. It's written on the cenotaph. Yeah. Now, tonight we're going to play a little game called Name the 10 Most Forgettable Best Picture Winners. Now, I know that title is promising a bit much. Don't worry. It's purely for hyperbolic advertising purposes. These are just 10 forgettable Best Picture winners, not necessarily the 10 most forgettable, but for the purposes of this episode, they are the 10 most forgettable Best Picture winners. So here's how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. I'm going to name the star of the movie and the genre. I'm going to name two stars from each movie, in fact, and the genre. If you can't guess the Academy Award, I'll also give you the year of the movie. I'll give you the year the movie won the Best Picture and the director's name. And if you still can't guess it, and this is not a game where you are competing against each other, this is a cooperative game, you can work together. If you still can't guess it, then you lose your movie snob license and cannot mansplain anything movie-related to your significant other until Todd Field makes another movie, and he just made one. So we've got as long as possible to wait for the next one. It's going to be a good 6 or 7 years at least on your hands. Get these wrong, because you won't be able to movie-splain to anybody or mansplain to any movies. Now, here's what else I'm going to say. I'm not saying these are necessarily bad movies.
What a segue.
These are not necessarily bad movies.
Here's what I will also say. Love it.
Now, I mean, it's okay to have a segue that's not like a clever segue. You can say.
Yeah, you're
now,
right.
Another thing I'm going to tell you is, or furthermore.
Thanks for mansplaining that one to the movie.
I didn't get the questions wrong. I'm allowed to mansplain to you guys, my significant others. Now, I'm not going to say these are necessarily bad movies. Some of them are very good movies. They're merely movies that, despite winning Best Picture, have somewhat slid out of the minds of mainstream culture. You probably do remember these movies, but when you think of the great Oscar-winning movies, these might not be the movies that come to mind. When you think of the great films of cinema, they are almost certainly not the movies that come to mind. So they're not bad movies.
We're not like reinvigorating the Avatar has no cultural blueprint or footprint argument, right?
We might have if Avatar had won Best Picture, but it didn't. Perhaps Way of Water will win Best Picture this year. It won't. But if it did, I mean, it's not that these movies have no cultural footprint. It's that more that when you think of what are the great films, what are the great iconic films of history?
Mad Max Fury Road.
Well, yes, these are not the movies that come to mind. When these are not the movies that you see in montages of the most amazing iconic movies, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, Casablanca, it won Best Picture. That's legitimately a movie that is enshrined iconically in people's minds. Other movies like, what other Best Pictures winners are there? I mean,
there's
like,
a couple good ones recently. Moonlight and Parasite were both great.
Yeah, those are great movies. It's still a little soon to see if they were, as opposed to like Nomadland, which won Best Picture the year before last, and I feel like has already been relatively forgotten by humanity at large.
Does Casablanca literally mean White House?
Yes, it does. That's a good question, Dan. It's very germane to what we're talking about
today. The name of the town is White House. No, it's just odd to think that like the city has the same name as the seat of government in our country. That's all.
Wow,
it never occurred
Dan
to me before.
Dan is fucking blazed tonight.
Dan is full of hot takes, and that's good because the Oscars are all about hot takes. Now, for instance, there's some movie. For instance, let's take a for instance. Rocky won Best Picture. Do I think that was the best movie of that year? No, but indisputably, it is an iconic movie with many moments that live on in people's memory.
True.
As opposed to a movie like Million Dollar Baby, a very good movie that I forgot existed until I started researching this episode, even though I remember going to see it and liking it in the theaters. So that's what we're talking about today. Now, again, I also want to say for the listeners at home, maybe these are some of your favorite movies. I don't know. It's possible I live in a bubble and everyone's always watching their DVD copies of Million Dollar Baby or Chicago or whatever. But these are the movies where you're liable to not either have heard of them recently or to be like, oh, right, I forgot that one Best Picture. So are you guys ready to test your Best Picture knowledge with some movies that you may have not thought about in a little while?
I'm raring to go. This is...
Okay. I have nothing else on my calendar tonight, so why not?
That's great. You're free tonight?
This time period has been blocked off to talk to both of you guys, so it's convenient that you have a topic for us.
Excellent. That's great. Now, for the listeners at home who can't see, I am wearing black tie. They can attest to this. And I'm a little disappointed that you guys didn't dress up for the occasion, but I also didn't tell you ahead of time what we were doing tonight, so that's why. Okay. Now, for the beginning of the game, our first one. So this is a drama starring Dev Patel and Frida Pinto.
This is your Million Dollar Baby is what this is.
No, incorrect. This is not Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, sorry, Slumdog Millionaire.
Yes, Stuart is right. I guess it shows you just how forget. Again, you're cooperating. It's not. There's no point.
You know, The word millionaire shows how forgettable the movie is
that I mentioned another movie with million in the title.
That's what it was, and you incepted it into my sleepy mind. Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry. I apologize for that lapse.
So Slumdog Millionaire, what are your
apologize
guys?
Apologize to Danny Boyle.
I know, exactly.
And Loveleen Tandon, who's also credited as co-director.
I'm not going to apologize to him for that movie. Like, if I had forgotten... If I had gotten, like... I don't know, Sunshine wrong, an underrated favorite of mine, or one of his Shallowgrave, Trainspotting, early classics.
When you think Danny Boyle, you aren't like, oh yeah, the director of Slumdog Millionaire. No, you think the director of Trainspotting. That's what you think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of thing we're talking about. Well, Stuart, nice job. Dan, please remember that sometimes the same word can appear in multiple movie titles, and they aren't always the same title.
Forms.
Yes, millionaire and million dollar. They mean the same thing.
They share a root, but I apologize.
It's interesting you say that because here's our first musical break. Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Roots. Thank you, The Roots.
Wow.
And we're back. So this next movie, this is a romance starring Juliette Binoche and Kristin Scott Thomas.
Is this The English Patient?
That's right. It's The English Patient, which won in 1996, beating Fargo. Now, if you were to ask me what is the more iconic of the two films, I might say Fargo. I might not say The English Patient. Again, not a bad movie, but a movie that I know I saw in the theaters, and all I remember is that a plane crashes at one point.
Wouldn't you say something like, oh, it's Fargo, eh, or something like that, right? Oh, don't you know?
Wouldn't you say something like that?
What situation would I say that in?
I don't know if you're auditioning out a DVD role of, in Yeah, Fargo. Yeah, exactly. You're, yeah, you go to your local Fargo. Fucking video store or gas station. I don't know what you have access to.
And like I would what, rent the movie?
Yes, you go up to your fucking Redbox and you start slapping it and talking in fucking Wisconsin voice.
In Fargese. Okay, well, sure.
Also, Allie doesn't even go, like, his local gas station doesn't even rent videos. He just has to buy those, like, three movie collections that they always have in gas
three
stations.
Three packs. Yeah. So yeah. What pairs best with Minute Work?
he's got Fargo's on the same disc as Minute Work and also, I don't know, Fled. Let's say Fled is on there.
I wanted the Manchurian Candidate. I guess I also have to take Chill Factor both for A Night of Thrillers. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
Disorderlies
Nick of Time.
Is included
oh, interesting.
In this. Okay.
It's yeah. Those are that's one of the maybe one of the greatest inventions man ever had was those random packs of movies where they're like make it an action night. The Great Escape, Condor Man, Tango and Cash, and let's not forget. Chain Reaction. You know?
Oh, this horror night has two of the Hellraiser movies on it, and for some reason, Wes Craven's Shocker is also on there.
Yeah. Well, you guys are doing great. You're 2 for 2, kind of. I'm going to give you 1.5, since Dan answered incorrectly for the first one. I'm going to give you 1.5 points. There are points, it turns out. Okay, this next one. Okay, this is going to get a little harder. Now, one of the rules I made for myself is I wouldn't just use very old movies because that felt like it was a little unfair to me. There's certainly a number of movies from the 30s that I can't expect you to remember. But that's what this one is. This is a Western starring Richard Dix and Irene Dunne. Richard Dix
Richard
and Irene Dunne in a Western.
Dix and Irene Dunne. That's
funny name.
Dix and Dunne, the classic pairing.
The classic duo of Dix and Dunne, or Dunne and Dix. They broke up because she wanted it to be Dunne and Dix. Yeah.
What is that? It's Dixon, Dunne, and Dixon Dunne is a third person.
Yeah.
Sorry. So there are other clues that we can get at various times.
You can't name this best picture winning Western starring Richard Dix and Irene Dunne. I'll remind you, this is one of the less than 100 greatest movies ever made in Hollywood, according to the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else that can give us? Do you have any hint or
clue?
I
think this is going to help you. It won Best Picture in 1931, and it was directed by Wesley Ruggles.
Oh, wow, you're a Ruggles fan.
It's a different Ruggles than the one of Red Cap, although that is also a Western, but that's a Western comedy. This is a Western drama. This is a historical pageant, this movie, you
what
might say.
What a magical world we live in that has multiple Ruggles in it. and some Wiggles.
And let's not forget Ruffles, which have ridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I'm going to say I have no fucking idea.
Okay,
yeah,
Dan, do you have any fucking idea?
I still have no
How about this? This does not you've officially lost. This is a bonus. This is just
to
get it.
It's, bonus, okay. This is just
the title
of
the movie.
Better.
The title of the movie can be found in this box office animated bomb, Spirit of the Blank.
Beehive.
It's an animated movie about a horse.
Oh,
Spirit
Stallion
of the Cimarron?
Cimarron?
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah, Stallion of the Cimarron. I apologize. It's Cimarron. Yes, Cimarron, the epic tale of the birth of the state of Oklahoma, which won Best Picture in 1931. So, again,
it's crazy because, Dan, you watch that movie all the time. I see it on your Letterboxd.
I mean, you're talking
just
to
has
a man.
That little, like, it has that little arrow thing that shows that you watched it a second time.
I'm a man in my 40s who can't spell cinnamon. Let alone Cimarron. So
yeah, that's true.
So did you actually see a movie called Cinnamon and you accidentally wrote
Cimarron?
That's
right. And then I watched The Silmarillion. Is that how it's spelled?
Wow.
I don't know.
Silmarillion? Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Did they make a movie of that? Of course they did.
Not yet. Someday.
Okay, we have one more question before it's time for us to take a short commercial break. Mm-hmm. This one, I bet you're going to get this one.
Yeah.
This is a circus movie starring Charlton Heston and Betty Hutton.
Is this The Greatest Show on Earth?
It is The Greatest Show on Earth, as seen in The Fablemans. Hey, no fear, Steven Spielberg. No fear trying to win a Best Picture by putting another Best Picture movie right inside your movie. Stevie.
Have you seen this, Elliot?
Dan, I'm not done.
Oh, you're doing your...
Stevie.
I see what you're doing.
Yes, Dan.
Here's a Well, here's a question. That is generally pointed to.
The Fablemans, more like the Cheatermans. Yes, Dan?
That is pointed to as one of the worst Best Picture winners, but the part that I saw in the Fablemans looked pretty cool.
Well, there's a train crash?
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah, crashing into a car. Have you seen this movie? What's your feeling about this film?
I have not seen it since I was a teenager. Mm. I remember being underwhelmed. I think I would like it more, but it is certainly not it's ambitious in terms of scope. It's a big adventure, but certainly when it won Best Picture in 1952, it was really more of a thank you, Cecil B. DeMille, for being, you know, one of our great showmen. It was not, that year it beat The Quiet Man and High Noon. I would say The Greatest Show on Earth was not the Best Picture of that year. Since, again, High Noon, an iconic Western, not my favorite Western, but an iconic Western, and The Quiet Man, wait a minute, is in E.T., directed by Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg, why are you stealing so many movies? Yeah. What are you doing?
Elliot, you said it was a big adventure. But is it an awfully big adventure? An awfully big adventure?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're getting.
That's another movie title.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh. You just put me in the place of remembering movie titles. So, and
which
now
one is
I
an awfully big adventure?
I think maybe Hugh Grant is in it. I'll look it up while you do other more important things.
I mean, it certainly was not an excellent adventure like our friends William and Theodore had. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you said that High Noon isn't your favorite Western. Your favorite Western is still How the West Was Fun, starring the Olsen twins, right?
You got it, because finally the West is fun. Yeah. I've been waiting all these years for the West to be fun. For the record, my favorite Western is the
Martin Mull's in that one, too.
He's probably it. There's some, if not Martin Mull, then some other classic comedy star who needs a paycheck.
For the record,
my real favorite Western is The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Yes, Dan?
That's a good one.
Number two, The Gunfighter. Anyway, you're saying?
That's also a great. A movie that I saw, you know, Elliot style.
Yeah, I've got good taste in Westerns, Dan.
The Gunfighter movie I saw Elliot style, and I'm just like, oh, Turner Classic Movies has several stars in its star rating of this film. I'll record it.
and then I enjoyed it
very much.
Watching the movie Elliot style involves wearing like a little outfit and eating a big bag of red vines or something, right?
Yeah.
And I hate red vines. Dan, you need to Elliot style.
Salt all over yourself. I just wanted to say, number one, I was so glad that I went back in time in the episode to do that awfully big adventure joke, referring to something that Elliot had said like at least a minute earlier by that point because of the huge reaction it got. And not only that, cutting off Stewart, you know, whose road was a lot more fruitful than mine. But, you know, sometimes you got to follow your muse. But I just want to say that An Awfully Big Adventure does star Hugh Grant and Alan Rickman.
Okay.
Oh,
and
R.I.P.
Mike Newell directed it.
Yeah, the man who was bitten by a radioactive Rick.
Yeah. So there you go.
Do you think if Alan Rickman and Alan Ruck shook hands, they would explode?
Yep, they'd become
a Rickman and a Ruckman.
They'd become Alan Ruckman. Yeah.
Oh. And wait, isn't that what they call Mega Man in Japan?
It's like a Gundam. Yeah, that's what they do call Mega Man in Japan. Yeah.
Well, we've been having a lot of fun tonight at the 73rd Flophouse Mini, and we'll return with more fun after these messages.
They can be anywhere, at your office, in your car, and they are wrong.
My mom says that the Gray House didn't exist, but she's wrong.
He just does it wrong.
Someone in your life is wrong about something. Something small, something weird, something vitally important. Only one person has the courage to tell them just how wrong they are.
You know what you did was wrong, but your daughter is a liar who eats garbage.
They call me Judge John Hodgman. Listen to me on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
If someone in your life is doing you wrong, don't just take it. Take it to court. Submit your case at MaximumFun.org/JJHO.
Hi, I'm Alex Schmidt.
And I'm Katie Golden.
And we make Secretly Incredibly Fascinating, a podcast about why seemingly ordinary stuff is actually the title of the podcast.
Using tons of research, we take a joyful look at history and science and stories.
And jokes.
About the ordinary stuff in your life, because that's what makes those things amazing.
Also jokes.
So get excited about paperclips.
Get thrilled about pigeons.
Get all psyched up and running around the room about the Imperial System of Weights and Measurements.
For real, there's whole episodes about that stuff. Hear them anytime and hear new episodes Mondays at MaximumFun.org.
Hey, you're looking at me and you're probably thinking, hey, that guy's a cat boy. And you'd be right, because I am a cat boy. I love my kitty cats and I love getting them fed. The thing is, when I feed them, and I like to feed them wet cat food, partly because of teeth issues, I always have to feed them pate. And I got to say, that term is charitable at best. That's why I switched to Smalls cat food. That's right. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. Now you can be one of their friends. A few shortly years later, they've served millions of meals to hungry kitties all around the world. You know, your cat needs fresh, protein-packed meals to be at their best. You know, you want their coat to be shiny, you want their breath to smell good, and that's what Smalls will provide.
Stuart, you know about, you know, packing protein into your meals, and it's made
your
breath
about packing protein
shiny and your hair.
My coat is luxurious. Good.
Wait, if his hair, his hair and his coat are two different things,
yeah.
Dan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My pelt. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my cats like Smalls. They, as soon as the box arrives, they start clawing at that cardboard. That's partly because they love clawing cardboard and partly because they like the delicious smells contained within.
They can smell.
Because it's not like they can read the Smalls brand logo on the side of the box.
That's the thing. I don't think they can read, but if they can, I feel like that's a bigger story than the Smalls head.
That's a, yeah, I mean, step aside, Mrs. Frisbee. Yeah. There's some cats of Nim.
Oh, my favorite movie of all time. Okay, so higher quality ingredients mean a healthier and happier life for your kitty. So head to smalls.com/flop and use promo code FLOP at checkout for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's right. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our code, and our code is FLOP for 50% off that first order. One last time, I don't want anyone to get this shit twisted. That's promo code FLOP for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping.
We've also got a Jumbotron message. That's right, it's a Jumbotron.
Okay, I was going to have to hit him.
Thank you. I almost got stuck in a loop. Yeah. Do you love trying to predict what TV show will win Best Drama at the Emmys or what movie walks away with the Best Picture Oscar? Then you'll love AwardTheory.com. AwardTheory.com allows you to place predictions on who will win movie or TV show awards. You can set up groups to compete against friends or compare your predictions on a global leaderboard and see how you measure up. It's fast, simple, fun, and free. Visit AwardTheory.com, make your predictions, and invite your friends. AwardTheory.com. Great ads, everybody. And
boom.
We now return
Bango.
To the 73rd Flophouse Mini. Okay, we're back, guys, and we're ready for more questions. I think you've been doing great. I think you're actually going to guess a lot of these. I think maybe these movies are less forgettable than I thought they were.
You know, having had a really solid therapy session earlier today, this is just the kind of affirmation I need today, Elliot, is you telling me how good I'm doing at your game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so glad we could be here because it's time for the next question. Can you name this comedy drama starring Jean Dujardins?
Dan?
Okay. So this is a Best Picture. This is a Best Picture.
Yeah, it's The Artist, dude.
I love how you tossed to Dan and then didn't let him think his way through it. That's right. It's The Artist, Best Picture for 2011, directed by Michel Hazanavicius. Where were you the last time?
I'm loving this game.
Yeah, because, yeah, Stuart, you're dominating. Now, where were you the last time you thought about the movie The Artist?
I don't know where I was, but I do remember that the thought was, The Artist won Best Picture.
Exactly. I feel like The Artist is, for me, the definition of this kind of movie where I'm always like, oh, yeah, I'll see it listed somewhere suddenly in Best Picture. I'm like, oh, yeah, The Artist. I remember that movie. That was this is what I should have done. I should have said comedy drama co-starring John Goodman. And seeing what you guys came up with.
Wow, yeah, that would have.
Yeah. Arachnophobia.
Yeah, that's The Artist. Okay, let's move on. Guys, this is going to be a little harder because it's a 30s movie. Okay, this is a biographical film starring Paul Muni.
Oh, is this I Am a Fugitive from a Chain Gang?
Ooh, that's a good guess. That was nominated for Best Picture in a different year, but it lost. So this is a different movie with Paul Muni. That was also a biographical film. This is a biographical film starring Paul Muni. Would you like another hint?
Yeah, give another hint. Unless it won Stuart Best Picture suddenly knows a lot of 1930s
Stuart,
movies.
What Paul Muni movies? Can you name a Paul Muni movie?
I thought you were going to give me another hint.
Okay, well, here's the hint. It won Best Picture in 1937. It was directed by William Dieterle.
And it's a biographical picture, you say.
It's a biographical film starring Paul Muni, not the Mass Transit Muni, but in fact the man, Paul Muni.
Can you tell us?
Dr. Detroit.
It's not Dr. Detroit. And you know what? That's not a terrible guess because Paul Muni also starred in The Story of Louis Pasteur, in which he was a doctor. Mm-hmm. But this is not that movie. This is a different movie.
Can you tell us what sort of person it is a biography of? What
it is
manner?
A biography of a French person.
Okay.
Very famous French person.
Uh-huh. And
a French writer, a very famous French writer.
Is it about Voltaire?
Nope, it is not about Voltaire.
who are some French writers?
It's about a very famous French writer who took a stand against anti-Semitism in the French military.
Well, that didn't help me. Did it help you, Stuart?
No, I'm just kind of waiting for this one to end.
It's about the life of the author who wrote Jacques, which I know you think of as the thing that French Columbo says. But it's actually
Or French Phoenix Wright. I feel like
Wow. I mean, I feel like I know a lot about literature, and I have no idea who wrote Jacques. I don't know that this is a book that I.
Okay, so I'm going to give you another hint. I'm going to give you another hint. Well, it's more of an essay than a book. Okay, I'm going to give you another hint. This is a famous... Oh, yes, it was a book, yeah. Never mind. This was a famous French author who wrote Jacques, took a stand against anti-Semitism, and his last name is the same as the name of a movie about a stripper who goes on a wild adventure.
Oh, what? A stripper who could... Nomi Malone?
No, it's the name
who goes
of the,
on
the
a
name
wild
of the,
adventure.
It's one of the first movies ever based on a Twitter thread.
Emile Zola.
Okay.
The life of Emile Zola.
You're right. The life of Emile Zola. We finally got there. Just for your knowledge, that movie beat The Awful Truth for Best Picture.
Honestly,
one of the greatest
of
all screwball comedies.
I like this game more than more. Hints were allowed. I think that.
Of course you would.
No, but I think it's also.
Bowling's more fun if you just fill the fucking alleys with like pillows or some shit.
With cement. If you just fill the gutters with cement and the ball can be guided by remote control. You know what? You just walk along next to it.
Yeah.
It's making me wish that I had done more old movies now that I think about it. Maybe if you guys want to stop for like 15 or 20 minutes, we'll come back. I'm sorry. Before we go to the next question, we are being interrupted by a special tribute. That's right. Here at the Flophouse Mini, we have a special tribute that we are going to be playing for you. Guys, you know, as I know, some of America's most unforgettable roles have been portrayed by that humblest of birds, the chicken. And so we now present a tribute to Hens on Film and those lovable performing poultry. Dan Stoops, feel free to narrate the tribute for our listeners. I'm sure you won't foul.
All right. Well, right now there's a cursor going
over. It says
my movie too.
Okay.
I love that one. Lady Cluck from Robin Hood.
Belina from Return to Oz.
Okay.
Moana. Yeah, that's a good one.
Ginger Run.
So
this is Chicken Number 3 from The Egg and I from 1947.
Sure.
And of course, one of Stewart's favorites.
Rockadoodle.
Questionable Panchito Pistoles from The Three Caballeros. And of course, Chicken Little.
Chicken Little, yeah.
You all remember Running Chicken from Rocky 2. And of course, Chicken Arrow from Hot Shots Part 2.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's Miss Prissy from the cartoon of Rice and Hen.
Yeah.
And the artificial chicken from Eraserhead. The biggest
Camilla.
Star at the end.
Camilla,
you have to win. Camilla.
Wait, she passed away?
The fucking body on that one, right?
She did 1976 to 2022. Dan, you forgot we lost Camilla last year?
Is that true? Is there like a... a particular
yes,
Muppeteer?
Dan, the puppet chicken died last year. Yeah, the puppet chicken. Yeah, Dan. That's why Gonzo's been wearing all black in all his public appearances in the past year.
You know, one of my most popular tweets was just pointing out about how, like, you know, Kermit and Piggy get all the press. But meanwhile, Gonzo has quietly been dating the same chicken for decades.
For decades, since 1976.
They've had a great relationship.
I mean, until she passed. But he was at her side the entire time.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Surrounded by loved ones.
Yeah. Dan reminds me, I will put my chicken and film tribute up on Twitter, I guess, and I'll send it to him. He can put it on the website, the Flophouse website. Okay, thanks everybody for that humble tribute. I appreciate that you didn't applaud during it. It's unfair to applaud for some of the chickens because others won't get as much applause. That artificial chicken from Eraserhead, you knew it was going to get thunderous applause, which is just not fair to chicken number 3 from The Egg and I from 1947, I believe it was. Okay, so here's our next question. We're back to the game. Okay, this next movie is a drama starring Diana Wynyard and Clive Brook. And if you know this movie, I will... I don't know. I don't know what I could possibly do to express
my eyes. Can you give us like a decade?
Is this from the 1930s?
Okay.
A drama from...
Starring Diana Wynyard and Clive Brook. I'm going to give you another hint. It won Best Picture in 1933. It was directed by Frank Lloyd. Not Frank Lloyd Wright and not his evil twin Frank Lloyd Wrong. His medium twin, Frank Lloyd, unaligned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, neutral. Frank Lloyd, lawful
chaotic
neutral.
Frank Lloyd.
Yeah.
I'm imagining chaotic Frank Lloyd. Frank Lloyd, there's falling water all over this house.
And the water's supposed to fall under the house, not over it. Frank Lloyd Wright, this Guggenheim is supposed to go, wait a minute, the Frank Lloyd Wright version is the weird version of the Guggenheim.
Wow.
This Frank Lloyd Wrong version is actually stable.
Yeah, it's a normal building.
We sent the wrong one back to the other dimension.
And Frank Lloyd Wright is like, shoot him, he's the clone.
Mm-hmm. Kill us both, Spock.
Okay, so here's another hint. This movie, it's the story of a family from 1899 to 1933, and it's based on a play by Noel Coward. I'm sure you know what it is now. This was the best picture.
By Noel Coward.
This is the best picture in 1933.
Wait, is that... No.
It's not any Noel Coward film play you remember.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't know, Our Town, Tuck Everlasting.
No, that's not. No.
That one's
neither
not
of those,
a play.
Neither of those are Noel Coward. But keeps naming titles and you'll eventually get to it.
Bridge to Terabithia.
No. Now you're just naming YA novels.
I don't know. My Father the Hero.
Like the
no,
only,
that one Best Picture a later year.
The only thing I can think of that Noel Coward wrote right now is Blood Spirit, and I know it's not that. So
no, that was his when he collaborated with Cormac McCarthy, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Blood Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron.
I thought we might write something a little twisted. That's what he said.
And Cormac is all about that shit.
Okay, guys, this movie, so it beat 42nd Street and I Am a Fugitive from a Chain Gang. Mm. And also The Private Life of Henry VIII, which is another great, not as well-remembered movie, but it's a great Charles Laughton performance. This movie is called Cavalcade. Movie of 1932/1933. That's how they did the years back then. Guys, there have only been so many Academy Awards, and this is one of the best, okay? So...
Yeah.
Right there. It's one of the best movies ever made. You should know it should be very memorable. It's Cavalcade.
One of our top
okay.
movies.
Here's another one. Okay, what about this? It's a drama starring Morgan Freeman.
Uh-huh.
One Best Picture.
Is this Driving Miss Daisy?
You're right. It's Driving Miss Daisy. There you go. I actually left out Miss Daisy's name because I wanted to say Shawshank Redemption or something. but you were too smart for me, and you knew it was Driving Miss Daisy, starring Morgan Freeman and Jessica Tandy, and in a rare dramatic role, Ghostbuster himself, Daniel Aykroyd. That's won Best Picture in 1989.
A movie that one would think would be wild if it were made today, but then Green Book happened. So
yeah.
Who
knows? Dan Aykroyd was in that. He had a cameo in that scene where he drives Miss Daisy into Vulcanvania.
He drives Miss Daisy into Vulcanvania, yeah, and Judge, what's his name, shows up. Judge, what was his name?
I don't
remember. I don't remember. The one with the sausage penis for his nose. Anyway, directed by Bruce Beresford, who also directed Breaker Morant, a movie I'm going to mention in the next full-length episode of The Flophouse. So that's a little teaser. In the cinema movie connections IMDb listing.
Yeah, put it in trivia for this episode.
Okay, guys, here's another one. Okay, the next one. This is a drama starring Russell Crowe that won Best Picture.
Beautiful Mind.
Well, there's a few of them.
Oh, but Stuart got it right away. It was A Beautiful Mind.
Nailed it.
Dan, were you thinking of Gladiator?
Yeah, I mean, I think that still counts.
The previous year's Best Picture. Yeah. Because Russell Crowe starred in two Best Picture-winning movies in a row, something I don't think any other actor has ever done before, and those two movies are fine.
Yeah. And speaking of connections with our next episode.
That's true. The bigger connection episode is also Russell Crowe. So A Beautiful Mind, a movie
that I— Picture winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, of course. That we did.
Yeah.
Guys, looking back now 20 years later, what are your feelings about Gladiator and A Beautiful Mind?
I got to admit, I didn't actually like Gladiator that much at the time. I mean, I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine, but it was like a very standard sort of revenge action story with some cool visuals, but they also look kind of cheesy, like of the time. And A Beautiful Mind.
Like the time when he goes snowboarding? When he takes that Roman shield and he just snowboards on it?
Yeah. That's pretty cheesy. Yeah.
Pretty cheesy of the time, yeah.
Well, and that was a time when like action sequences were, the action sequences in that movie are so like, hard to follow, and the camera is like covered in mud, and like it feels like it's smeared in Vaseline, kicked around a hill.
Well, unfortunately, there were no other good action movies that year. It merely beat Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon for Best Picture that year.
Wow!
So a movie whose action sequences I know we never think about.
What did Beautiful Mind beat out?
Like, oh, you're going to be mad, Stuart.
Monsters Ball and a Lord of the Rings Fellowship of the Ring?
So it beat out Gosford Park, In the Bedroom, Moulin Rouge, and yes, Lord of the Rings Fellowship of the Ring, Stuart. You'd have to wait two more years for a Lord of the Rings movie to win Best Picture.
I can't remember all of them, but I think that I would have been happier with any of those winning over A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah,
I
mean, didn't Two Towers lose to fucking Chicago the next year?
It did lose to Chicago the next year, yes. This is the thing about, the fact that in the next year also, like, a Roman Polanski movie was what was nominated for Best Picture. It was a different time. It was a different time back then. But, so here's the thing about A Beautiful Mind. I don't think it's a bad movie. I merely find it a morally offensive movie.
No, I agree.
Because of the way it treats mental illness.
Yeah, that you can just decide one day, like, you know what? I'm not going to see my imaginary friend Paul Bettany anymore, who, by the way, is my favorite part of Beautiful Mind.
You know what? I'm tired of being a person with mental illness. I'm just going to stop.
Yeah.
And it is, yeah.
Like, why didn't we think about that?
He's the best part.
If you're going to make a movie with those two dudes, oceans better be fucking battlefields.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you'll be unhappy to know, Stuart, that also lost Best Picture, although to The Return of the King.
Yeah.
Which is fair. It's fair.
I mean,
stiff competition right there.
Stuart, it's 2003. You're an Academy Award voter. You can choose between Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, or Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. Which do you choose?
Yeah, uh-huh. Pop quiz hot shot.
Yeah, that's Stuart slowly reaches for, I don't know, the reforged shards of Narsil to skewer himself with.
Yeah, because it's too hard a decision. But then when you're doing that, your blood accidentally spatters on the ballot and marks off Seabiscuit as your win.
Oh, no.
So Dan's favorite movie? With it. Well,
it was
Dan's favorite horse.
Seabiscuit?
Yep, hey, Seabiscuit.
I'm the world's
America's
most popular horse.
Did you remember you were nominated for Best Picture?
I was. That seems weird. No one remembers much about that.
Well, don't worry. You didn't win, so don't
Gotta
worry
go!
About it. Okay.
Oh man, he's gone again.
He's so fast.
What a horse.
Yeah, you can't catch him. Can't catch that horse. So we have one last question for you, since this was the 10 most forgettable. Although you've proven me wrong, you guys have remembered
almost all
of these movies, all the ones that you were alive to see. You pretty much remembered this one. Okay, this is a romance starring Robert Redford and Meryl Streep.
This is Out of Africa.
That's right. It's Out of Africa, directed by Sidney Pollack, which won Best Picture in 1985. Here's a question, guys. Have you seen Out of Africa?
I have not seen Out of Africa.
No. I've
seen the VHS box.
I've never seen Out of Africa, and I'm willing to bet it is not a real movie and that we have elaborately been gaslit to believe there was a movie called Out of Africa.
Like if I go and pick up the box, I open it, and it's just full of fucking spiders, and I'm like, what? There's no VHS tape?
Exactly.
I know that not to be true because I did not see Out of Africa, but I do have memories of being in the room briefly when my parents were watching Out of Africa and thinking this is boring and going and doing something else.
Dan, you could have told us what the movie was about or what was so good about it, because I've never seen it, and as far as I know, nobody I've ever met has ever seen it because they've never mentioned it to me, ever. It's never been mentioned to me.
Yeah, I think there was a lion or something. I mean, like,
if it's got Africa in the title and you guess there's a lion in it, that's not that. I'm not giving you points for getting that one.
Fair enough.
That's the thing. When I go to my gym, there's always one TV that's playing FX. And if I know one thing about FX, it's that they got the movies. And you know what movie I never see on that shit? Out of Africa.
Never ever.
That's a scientific proof.
I see
proof.
Wanted all the time.
Yeah,
in existence movie that there is.
I mean, according to FX, sure.
I see Wanted, I see Deadpool.
And neither of them won Best Picture. So what's going on here, guys?
Yeah,
well, it's crazy.
As we've seen, winning Best Picture doesn't make your movie immediately immortal, and losing Best Picture or not even being nominated doesn't mean your movie stinks. So I think we've learned a little something about movies in that we shouldn't just judge them by awards, but by the content of their characters and whether they're on FX, since FX has the movies. Similar to how Arby has the meat. If Arby doesn't have it, it's not me.
You know what? I mean, and I bet that, you know, every once in a while they got to get together and have a barter situation, because Arby's needs some entertainment every once in a while, and the other one needs to eat.
FX. You already forgot.
Yeah.
The other one.
You know, they're
the one with two letters. I mean, they both have two letters.
Yeah. Well, no, Arby's doesn't.
It's just RB, bitch.
Dinner and a movie. They get together for dinner and a movie.
Dinner and a movie. Meat and a movie. Hank Arby and Jenny FX. Yeah.
They're like, you can have any of these meats. It's like, all right, I'll take that meat. And there's like, all right, here's Shrek in return for that.
Yeah. So, well, then you got to figure out what movie equals how much meat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's how money starts.
Did you know? Shrek win Best Picture?
Shrek did not win, I think, and it didn't win Best Animated Feature, I don't believe, which was let's take a look. Let's take a look. Okay. Maybe it did. Okay. It is, I'm looking it up right now. Let's see.
Because we're talking about Shrek now.
It did win for Best Animated Feature.
No,
I'm sorry.
Fucking
it did win for Best Animation Feature. I'm sorry. I should have remembered that Shrek, it won the inaugural Best Animated Feature Award.
I heard a rumor that they made up the Best Animated Feature category just to prevent Shrek from winning Best Picture.
That was probably it, because it was Shrek versus A Beautiful Mind, and we know what would have won in that one.
Yeah,
and then we would have had to.
Shrek was gonna roll A Beautiful Mind
because they basically have the same moral, which is that you shouldn't judge the outside by the you judge it by the beautiful mind on the inside, whether it's an ogre or a mathematician. Shrek, of course, followed up the next year by the winner Spirited Away. Same level as Shrek, Spirited Away. They're
just
both Academy Award winners for Best Anime. And Spirited Away, what nominee did it defeat for that award? Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron.
Wow.
A little piece of Oscar's history.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine how many cigarettes Miyazaki would smoke while watching Shrek? Just like, fuck.
Yeah. Well, there are so many other forgettable Best Pictures I'd love to talk about. The Broadway Melody, Around the World in 80 Days, Tom Jones. Gosh, now that I'm really here, I'm getting so flustered. There's just so many movies to mention. Chicago, I have to mention Chicago. And the King's Speech, of course. Oh, no, they're playing me off. Okay, well, I guess I know that's my time. I won't get too much busier. All right, I apologize. Look, I've been Elliot Kalin, and joining me are my co-hosts.
Also not getting too much busier, Dan McCoy.
And Stuart Wellington.
Okay, we're part of the Max Fun Network. I better say it quick. Oh, the music's getting louder. Our producer and editor is Alex Smith. Hopefully he puts some music in here. Find him online under the name Howell Doughty. And please consider leaving us a positive review wherever you download your podcast. Remember, we're doing a live show April 2nd in Brooklyn at the Bell House, Sunday, 7:30, April 2nd. Go to thebellhouseny.com for tickets there. Okay, all right, already, I get it, I'm done. Goodbye, everybody, good night.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.